the talk.
This is Clemens Maniatella
on 702.
25 minutes before 11 o'clock. Let's continue with that series we started 2 weeks ago, where we look at South Africa's historical ties with some of the world's superpowers. It's more of a history lesson, and I love history lessons. So we're going to reflect on the historical and current ties with these countries, so we get to understand how we, as the continent, but more so as South Africa, feature in the international community. I mean, lately the continent, as I've said earlier, and specifically South Africa, has received so much diplomatic attention. I don't remember the last time we received such attention. The U.S., there are those who argue, is worried about the prevalence of China and Russia on the continent. It's feeling threatened. Others believe that China and Russia are trying to counter that Western domination. So, what's been our historic relationship with some of these superpowers? We've already looked at the historic ties between South Africa and the USSR, right? The Soviet Union, which consisted of the 15 or so Soviet socialist republics stretching across Europe and Asia. And we looked at how, after the collapse of that Soviet Union, each forged a different path. And we looked at the path in relation to South Africa. Well, today, we're looking at our historic ties with the US. We have obviously shared democratic values, strong commercial ties, common security interests. In fact, with this recent diplomatic row now, the ambassador claimed that South Africa supplied weapons to Russia. That may have soured some relations between the two countries. And now there are concerns about AGOA and the billions in investments that could be in jeopardy as a result of these tensions. So let's look now, take a steps few back to look at the relationship we've had with America. And did the U.S. support the anti-apartheid movement, for instance? You know, could that be part of the reason the ANC has taken the posture that it's taken against the U.S.? And why now? Because they're so, you know, expressive about, you know, how they feel they didn't get the support of the U.S. during apartheid. But why are they only becoming so harsh towards the U.S. now? Or have they always maintained this position, do you think? I'll take your inputs on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. We've got a guest who will be guiding us through this discussion, Professor Gilbert Kadiagala, who is a professor of international relations and director of the African Center for the Study of the United States. Thank you so much for, that's at the University of the Witwatersrand, by the way. Prof, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Clement. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for making time for us. How far back does our relationship with the U.S. go? And maybe we can start even before the Democratic government in 1994. How do you describe our relationship with the U.S.?
The relationship between the apartheid government and the U.S. was very cordial because South Africa was considered a strategic partner in Africa, and therefore it was important, particularly in the 60s and 70s into the 80s, for the U.S. to support the apartheid government unapologetically. And I'm talking about the U.S. government. There are many people in the U.S. who do not support the apartheid government. But it consistently into 1986, when the Reagan administration was forced to impose sanctions on the apartheid government. And that's when things begin to change. But I think consistently from the 40s, if we could put it that way, South Africa was a very close ally of the United States.
Okay.
But,
go ahead.
So, and then when the change in government took place in 1994, it started on a fairly good note. There was an acknowledgement that the U.S. was never really a friend of the ANC, but the ANC, I think, made a point to say, you know, we can still work with the United States because it's an important global player, and probably the past can be forgiven. But I'm saying that because this issue keeps coming back again on the ANC doesn't trust the U.S. because the U.S. was never really friendly to it. But I think there was a very big shift during Mandela's time that it's important for South Africa as a regional power in Africa to engage the U.S., particularly on a cross range of economic, political, and socioeconomic issues. So I would want to describe this relationship really as a love-hate relationship. There's still the animosity, there's still the feeling that the U.S. cannot be entirely trusted, even though at the end of the day, South Africa has to deal with the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot avoid such a superpower. What I'm trying to understand, Prof, is so the ANC, for instance, is not happy with the U.S. As you say, this issue keeps coming up that you are not there for us when we needed you the most during the fight against apartheid. But when you look at who's leading that administration in the U.S., it's Joe Biden, whom you could argue was one of the individuals in the political system in the U.S. who, you know, was making his voice heard about their support for, you know, the non-racialism, for even movements in South Africa that were fighting that ruthless system. Does it not matter to the ANC that, well, we've got someone who is the president of the U.S. who actually, in some way, was supporting that anti-apartheid struggle?
You see, there is a tendency, and I'm not just saying ANC, but I think within South Africa as a whole, and sometimes Africa, to paint the U.S. in very uniform manner. Mm. All administrations look pretty much the same. That's the picture. So the Democrats, the Republicans, to most of us, or to most of the people here, are just the same. These are Americans. But I think the point you're raising is a very good one, that there are very big differences among different administrations and how they look at Africa. So the Biden administration is very different from the Trump administration, for instance, when it comes to how it approaches Africa or South Africa. And if you go into history, it's the same. I mean, the Reagan administration was very different from the Clinton administration, true, which was a democratic administration. So I can understand the concerns about, you know, the Americans. But on the other hand, the differences are important because there are some people who really want to engage, some administrations that are very honest in wanting to address Africa's interests and South Africa's concerns. And I think the Biden administration is trying to do that. That's why they came up with a strategy last year on Africa that says, you know, we need to work with all African countries. We need to respect Africa as a global player. And those are some of the gestures that you cannot get probably from a Republican administration.
Yeah.
But the attitude about the Americans as a homogenous entity, I think, still lingers and contributes, I think, to the misunderstanding that exists between South Africa and the U.S.
Okay. So, obviously, during the Trump era, that didn't help much. I mean, this is a man who was not interested on this continent, was not interested. I mean, how long was he in power before he actually even appointed an ambassador here in South Africa? Do you think that era somehow led to the kind of, you know, shaky relations and the tensions we are seeing now with the U.S.? Because you can tell with the Biden administration that they're almost doing like this cleanup campaign, because during Donald Trump's era, we were almost non-existent. And Joe Biden, I mean, is sending his senior officials here. He's had audience even with our president, Cyril Ramaphosa. He's showing some interest that I want to work with you here. But that still doesn't seem to satisfy the governing party this side.
No, because the big point I want to make here is that there is a faction within the ANC that doesn't trust the United States, whether you are looking at Democratic or Republican administration. And the point they make is that they want to pursue an independent foreign policy. They don't want to be seen to be very closely allied to the United States. That's why they are saying, We have some of our friends who supported us many years ago. And now if we have to be very close to these actors like Russia and China, then the U.S. starts to complain. So this faction believes that the U.S., whatever administration, still has a very consistent line that South Africa should actually bow to Western interests. And I think that is the rejection that this faction is making all the time, that, you know, we are an independent state, you can be our friend, but you cannot choose our friends.
Mm.
And that is the line that remains. And that's why these conflicts are not going to go away until, in fact, there is an appreciation, probably on the U.S. part, that South Africa is a country that really wants to play by its own rules.
Yeah.
But you could see from what the ambassador is saying, you know, you are a sovereign country, you make sovereign decisions.
Yeah.
And the U.S. is a sovereign country, has to make sovereign decisions with regard to South Africa. So the question is, how do these countries meet halfway?
Mm-hmm.
There is a cynicism about the U.S. from a larger faction of the ANC. But the Americans also don't want to feel like they want to deal with a South Africa that goes to BRICS meetings, that goes to China, that goes to Moscow and says bad things about Western powers, for instance. They have been talking very recently about the BRICS countries, you know, creating their own currency, not needing the dollar and so on. So those kinds of things, I mean, South Africa's engagement in those kinds of debates doesn't really go very well with the United States.
Yeah.
Because it says, now you don't look like you're our ally, but we have 600 U.S. companies investing in South Africa. You know, you benefit from AGOA, you benefit from all these linkages, education, and so on. So then why are you running to the Chinese or the Russians?
Yeah.
That's the misunderstanding there.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got every right to choose who our friends are. So the question I have for you, Prof, is do you think the U.S. is interested in engaging with us as an equal partner? Because, I mean, the least you can afford a sovereign state is a respect for whatever decision they make. Yes, you may disagree with it, but at the very least, understand that they are a sovereign country that is very much capable of taking their own decisions. So do you think the U.S. is willing to have a conversation with us as equal partners, or do they want to somehow have power over us?
No, I think what they want is, South Africa to be sovereign, but sovereignty has got its own responsibilities. As I said, it's a question of choosing friends. South Africa is very clear it wants to have all these friends around the world, including China and Russia. But the issue the U.S. says is that you are for now not very equal to us. I mean, they don't put it that bluntly, but I'm just saying, if I'm opening your markets for your products without you opening your markets for our products, then there's an unequal relationship. So AGOA is a symbol of a South Africa that is still struggling to be what? To be an equal partner with the U.S. because it benefits more than the U.S. does benefit. So the question is, how do we navigate around these existing inequalities? I think the point is South Africa has to, over time, build a capacity to be more independent economically from the United States before then it begins to raise these big questions about, don't tell me who my friends are. Because the U.S. is saying now, if we withdrew AGOA, you have problems at home because there will be no AGOA contributes a lot to the South African economy. And the U.S. doesn't really need AGOA that much. Or it can negotiate these kinds of agreements with other countries. So South Africa is vulnerable in that context. So the point is that it has not achieved the kind of economic viability that makes it a competitor to the United States. And therefore, an unequal partners You have to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You have to step back and say, you know.
Yeah. But how
I'm
much
to make some concessions here?
Yeah. Yo. And the question is, how far do you go with those concessions to still maintain your integrity as a sovereign nation that wants to stick to its decision? I suppose it hasn't helped us that we haven't really been clear on which side we are really aligned to. But I want to ask about how much the U.S. is benefiting from us. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. We need the U.S., you know, probably more than they need us. But the U.S. needs us too, don't they? Yes.
No, I mean, they do.
They invest.
And that's why I said there are 600 South African companies.
Yeah.
So they're benefiting here.
Yeah, I mean, Pretoria is its biggest trade partner in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, you don't want to lose that diplomatic space on the continent to either Russia or China. We are still the U.S. biggest trading partner in the region. So that's also significant for them. What do you think of the current relations now and how we fix it? Because the president sent envoys in Sydney Mufamadi to try and sort of deal with the tensions and safeguard the billions that are invested in this country. But then when Sydney Mufamadi came back, that's when this, you know, explosion about that Lady R vessel and whether or not we loaded some weapons there, that really has shaken our relationship, or even the foundation of our relationship with the U.S. Where do you think things are going to end?
You see, I think the trip by the National Security Advisor Mufamadi was part of the whole debate around, you know, what is really the relation between Russia and South Africa. And I think he went maybe to explain the South Africa's position. But when he came back, that's when the ambassador came up with his statement about the military support or whatever. But my point is that we're going to have to wait for the inquiry that the president set up last week to see what are the findings they're going to come up with. I suspect that this issue is not going to go away until we get some closure to it. And I don't think the judicial process may resolve it, because it may come up one way or the other with a conclusion as to whether the ambassador was wrong or the ambassador was right.
Yeah.
And then now South Africa will have to decide how to deal with the aftermath of that inquiry. My suspicion is that I think it's going to drag on for a while. Maybe it may take, they said it's going to take 6 weeks before we get a conclusive answer. And who knows, maybe between now and then there are other negotiations between the U.S. and South Africa going on how really to ease the tensions. Because these countries have to deal with each other, and they have to manage these differences. And therefore, I see gradually probably a much more softer landing to this problem.
Yeah.
Because I read probably that they may say, oh, you know, if the arms were put on that ship, maybe they were done by rogue elements and whatever.
you could
come up with all kinds of arguments that mollify, I think, the U.S.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but the good thing is that you have an ambassador here. There's an ambassador, South African ambassador. She's in Washington. There are channels to resolve all these issues, and I don't think this relationship is broken.
Okay. What about us now as South Africa being part of the BRICS bloc? You know, when you look at it in the context of the geopolitical contestation between the U.S., and of course China and Russia, is this going to continue being a bone of contention for the U.S.? Because we are increasingly appreciating and building more and more relationship as the BRICS bloc.
You see, that is going to cause more problems down the road. I think the BRICS is going to come up with policies that contradict what the U.S. and its Western allies are doing. And I think increasingly, therefore, there are going to be more tension, particularly if they are going to begin to, you know, abandon the dollar and all that. But my approach to this issue is that South Africa should just be upfront to the U.S. and tell them that, you know, you are our friends, but I think we believe that the relationships with the BRICS are equally significant to our relationship. And then they can let the U.S. to choose what it wants to do.
Mm.
I think the more transparent these relationships are, the better. So a good point about, no, we know we are non-aligned, but we are non-aligned more closely. We are non-aligned, but we are also very closely linked to big powers like China and Russia. Because, you know, theoretically, non-alignment means you're actually not engaged with one of these, either of these powers. You deal with them, but you are not really, you are not selling arms to them or whatever. So,
yeah.
I mean, the point should be very clear that... Now we are mature enough, we want to choose our friends and our BRICS. I think we value these relationships.
Mm.
And then everything is up on the table.
Yeah.
Then the U.S. can decide how it wants to engage South Africa.
Yes. Let me take some messages coming from our listeners on 0727021702. Hi, Clement and the Prof. South Africa must understand that they're heavily dependent on foreign benefactors. If they want to cozy up their communist states, then suffer the consequences. Choose sides, stick to it, and don't try and play both ends against the middle. That's one listener. That's what one listener says. Another one sent us a WhatsApp voice note.
Hi, good day, Clement. Why it seems as if we are loyal to the Democrats, but when it comes to contributions in Africa, most of the Republicans' presidents tend to contribute more in Africa than the Democrats. Even on the issue of AGOA, the negotiation starts whenever there is a Democrat president. Thanks, David.
Now, do you think that's the case, Prof?
You know, I've written on these issues and I've argued always that sometimes we exaggerate the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Mm.
The Republicans have been, sometimes people, you know, say they are bad for Africa, but they are not actually. If you look at the actual policies that have come up, even if you look at people like George Bush, you know, they came up with a PEPFAR program. The PEPFAR program is this antiretroviral that has been offered to South Africa. It's been a very important program. Some Republicans have done excellent things. It is just that when you have a Trump-like figure, that's when you run into trouble.
Mm.
I think the gentleman is correct that the Republicans also, you know, when they control Congress, and Congress is really the big decision maker here, more often than not you find what comes out of Republican Congresses or the Senate is good for Africa. So It's we should not exaggerate the difference between the two. We should not just say, you know, the Democrats are the gods and these are the devils. No, it's not true.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to understand.
All right, Professor Gilbert Kadiagala, Professor of International Relations and Director of the African Center for the Study of the United States at the University of Witwatersrand. Thank you so much for making time.